The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
In this episode, should I or should I not wear a mask to protect myself against COVID-19? We're going to talk about what the experts say. We're going to talk about what the rest of us are doing. I'm going to talk about how we can even approach this sensitive topic with individuals. And once again, we're going to keep it in the context of the workplace.
Welcome to the Safety Pro Podcast, powered by iReport Source, helping you manage safety one episode at a time. With the constant regulatory and workplace culture challenges businesses face, we'll provide you with all the relevant information necessary to achieve a safer, more productive workplace. No management theories, platitudes, or guru speak, just actionable info you can use right away. Now here's your host, the Safety Pro himself, Blaine Hoffman.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Safety Pro Podcast. As mentioned, to mask or not to mask, that is another question we're asking ourselves today. I am amazed at all the information that's available to us today. You know, I think that we need to take a breath, take a step back and reevaluate where we are, you know, where we've been and what we've learned and what we know today to take the next step forward. A colleague said, you know, maybe I should do daily 5-minute updates, like of just the changes CDC publishes, but maybe I'll do that. I'm not sure. It's just timing, you know, and workload. But I will update the previous episode. I talked about to clean or to disinfect, right? And I talked about the difference between the two. And wouldn't you know it, as soon as I published that episode, the CDC changed their guidance. So now you will see the language state that they recommend cleaning and disinfecting frequently touched surfaces. Further down in a couple of their other pages, they still separate those two, which creates more confusion. The OSHA webpage for COVID-19, they're very clear. In the workplace, they say very clearly, there is no need. Generally, there is no need. You know what I'm going to do just to not confuse anybody? I'm going to read it to you. Environmental decontamination. Outside of healthcare and death care facilities, there is typically no need to perform special cleaning or decontamination of work environments when a person suspected of having the virus has been present, unless those environments are visibly contaminated with blood or other bodily fluids. In limited cases where further cleaning and decontamination are necessary, consult the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention guidance for cleaning and disinfecting environments, including those contaminated with other coronavirus. So even OSHA is still saying just routinely cleaning surfaces in the work and general work environment, even if somebody has a suspected case, I mean, just do some regular cleaning. But, you know, it's always, if you can, yeah, go the extra step and disinfect. The problem we're running into is that, like I said in the last episode, everybody wants to douse the whole place in straight chlorine bleach every 15 minutes. And it's just not necessary in most workplaces, in most environments. Okay. So, you know, look, you pick your battles. The psychology is overwhelming here on the, you know, reaction side of things and people's emotions kind of taking over, which is leading to some crazy stuff that companies are trying to do, which they get themselves into a quandary because, one, the activities and actions they're trying to take to put workers at ease, to satisfy that knee-jerk emotional, psychological reaction that they're having to this, it's not sustainable. They're not able to keep up because they can't get these supplies. So, look, that was an update from the last episode. I'm thinking of doing more frequent flash updates, not full-on episodes, but maybe bonus updates to just talk about some of the ever-evolving nature of this crisis. But look, getting back to the topic for this episode, it's kind of in line with what I talked about last time, but this one's dealing with masks. That's what I hear about now. All masks. Why aren't we all wearing masks? How come we don't have enough masks? Well, one, supply and demand. All right. Two, you know, to answer the question, second question is maybe we are not a high priority for these masks. Okay. So two things. We're going to separate masks from respirators. We're safety professionals. We know the difference, but just to make sure that we cover our bases. Respirators are designed to reduce a worker's exposure to an airborne contaminant, sort of like a known contaminant, even if it's just, you know, respirable dust, okay, like with a P95 respirator. They come in various sizes, and they have to be individually selected to fit the wearer's face and to provide a tight seal. A proper seal between the user's face and the respirator forces inhaled air to be pulled through the respirator's filter media and not through the gaps between the face and the respirator. They offer the best protection for workers who must work closely. Okay, this is what OSHA says. They must work closely, either in contact with or within 6 feet with people who have influenza-like symptoms. These generally include workers who are in occupations classified as very high exposure risk or high exposure risk to pandemic influenza. So we're talking medical workers, healthcare workers, and death care. So now, what about surgical masks? So a mask, that's used as a physical barrier to protect the user from hazards such as splashes of large droplets of blood or body fluids. Surgical masks also protect other people against infection from the person wearing the mask. Such masks trap large particles of body fluids and that may contain bacteria or viruses expelled by the wearer. Surgical masks are used for several different purposes, including the following, according to OSHA: placed on sick people to limit the spread of infectious respiratory secretions to others. They're worn by healthcare providers to prevent accidental contamination of patients' wounds by the organisms normally present in mucus and saliva. So just normal, average, everyday bacteria that I, the surgeon or the healthcare worker or the nurse, would have. It prevents when I'm talking to another nurse and there's an open wound and I'm doing some stitching, it prevents just my spittle, right, from just normal talking, from getting into that wound and creating a bacterial infection, which is just from normal bacteria present in my mouth. Okay, that's what they're talking about. The third one, it's worn by workers to protect themselves from splashes or sprays of blood or bodily fluids. They may also keep contaminated fingers and hands away from the mouth and nose. Surgical masks are not designed or certified to prevent the inhalation of small airborne contaminants. These particles are not visible to the naked eye, but may still be capable of causing infection. These surgical masks, are not designed to seal tightly against the user's face, right? So during inhalation, much of the potentially contaminated air can pass through the gaps between the face and the mask and not be pulled through the filter media of the mask. Their ability to filter small particles varies significantly based on the type of material used to make the surgical masks. Look, they can't be relied on to protect workers against airborne infectious agents, okay? Only surgical masks that are cleared by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to be legally marketed in the U.S. have been tested for this ability to resist blood and bodily fluids. So just take that with a grain of salt. That last part, they may also keep contaminated fingers and hands away from the mouth and nose. Keep that in mind as we move on. Let's go to the World Health Organization. I'll have links to all this stuff, by the way. Q&A page for the World Health Organization, WHO. The question, should I wear a mask to protect myself? Answer, only wear a mask if you are ill with COVID-19 symptoms, parentheses, especially coughing, or looking after someone who may have COVID-19. Disposable face masks can only be used once. If you are not ill or looking after someone who is ill, then you are wasting a mask. The WHO is saying If you are not ill or looking after someone who is ill, you are wasting a mask every time you use one because they're supposed to be thrown away after each use or after when they become soiled, visibly soiled or moist. Okay. You have to throw it away and get another one. There is a worldwide shortage of masks, so WHO urges people to use masks wisely. WHO advises rational use of medical masks to avoid unnecessary waste of precious resources and misuse of masks. The most effective ways to protect yourself and others against COVID-19 are to frequently clean your hands, cover your cough with the bend of the elbow or tissue or shoulder, maintain distance of at least, WHO is still saying 3 feet from people who are coughing or sneezing. We all know in the U.S. it's 6 feet now is what the guidance we're going by that the CDC is recommending, okay? So let's go. We talked about OSHA. We talked about WHO. Let's jump over to the CDC. Under how to protect yourself, under cdc.gov's webpage for that topic, and again, links to all of this stuff. Wear a face mask if you are sick. That's the title, the heading of this section. Two bullet points. First one, if you are sick, you should wear a face mask when you're around other people, sharing a room or vehicle, and before you enter a healthcare provider's office. If you're not able to wear a face mask, for example, because it causes trouble breathing, then you should do your best to cover your coughs and sneezes, and people who are caring for you should wear a face mask if they enter your room. Second bullet point. If you are not sick, you do not need to wear a face mask unless you are caring for someone who is sick and they are not able to wear a face mask. Face masks may be in short supply and should be saved for caregivers. Okay, so we know this, right? We know this information. We have it here. It's very clear. Everybody across the board, from the CDC to OSHA to the World Health Organization, and remember that caveat on OSHA's bullet point. I'm going to get back to that here in a second. All of them seem to say the same thing. If you're healthy and you're maintaining your distance and you're practicing sanitation, you do not need, you're wasting a mask. It's not going to do any good. If there are some small particles that are floating in the air, these are even microscopic, that surgical mask, that little paper mask is not protecting you. It's still going to get in. And here's the other thing. I have people come up to me and says, I need a mask because I don't want to breathe this stuff in. And I'm like, well, okay, if it's in the air and if it's that fine of a particle in the air, okay, one, the mask, the gaps in the mask, we've talked about that. But two, shouldn't you have goggles? Right. Think about it. If that particle is floating around and you're like, I don't want to breathe it in, it's getting in your eyeball. I mean, that's how it gets in. It can get in your eyes. Don't touch your eyes, nose, or mouth, right? Okay, and it goes back to my last episode. Nothing changes from the last episode other than the CDC guidance I cited. If the recommendation across the board is maintain social distance, it's these large particles that when somebody coughs or sneezes, or is talking, that spit, you know, shoots out and gets on you. You know, that's what you're protecting yourself against, okay? Social distance and frequently washing your hands and frequently touch surfaces and not touching your eyes, nose, or mouth. That's what's going to prevent the spread of this. That's still the guidance, the prevailing guidance, even after all this time we've had studying this and all the updates still, knock on wood, as soon as I publish this, all heck will break loose, right? But look, now let's get back to OSHA's, that third bullet point, the second half to that third bullet point, that the surgical masks are worn by workers to protect themselves from splashes or sprays of blood or bodily fluids. They may also keep contaminated fingers and hands away from the mouth and nose. If your hands and fingers, one, they shouldn't be contaminated. You should be wearing gloves, and you're not supposed to touch your eyes, nose, or mouth anyway. But here's the thing. Even if you have gloves and you reach up and you grab that mask, and you go to pull it off, you have to assume your finger, your glove or hands or fingers are contaminated now at that point, right? If your logic holds true, I'm wearing the mask because I don't want to breathe this stuff in, so this stuff's going to catch it. So those particles, those contaminants are stuck on this mask. Now I've just touched it, either with my bare hands or with gloves. So now I have to take the gloves off properly, and I'm still going to have to wash my hands. So look, you're still getting in your eyes. You still have gaps around the surgical mask. It's not keeping doing anything. It's really for a sick person that, or a surgeon who's actively treating somebody, or a doctor, not necessarily a surgeon, a healthcare provider, actively treating somebody who's ill or maybe ill in a healthcare facility environment. That isn't the general workplace environment. It isn't. So across the board, we have guidance saying stop wearing masks. So the challenge for safety professionals, one, if you have any kind of, you know, on-site medical providers, nurses, EMTs, paramedics, you have a healthcare clinic on site in a large facility, manufacturing or industrial, you know, warehousing, things like that. You obviously need to treat them as medical professionals. They need to have this protection. Somebody comes in and is not feeling well and is ill, and your policy is to evaluate them. If your policy is we only handle workplace illnesses and injuries, and if a worker comes in and presents themselves as being ill, that's not work related. You need to go home. If that's not your policy, if your policy is to see them and do a patient survey and evaluation, then they need to wear universal precautions. They need to adhere to universal precautions. And this includes wearing a mask, a surgical mask. So they would also need the surgical mask with the plastic face shield to cover their eyes. Okay. Because you could have somebody on the bed, or you could have somebody in the chair sitting there, and you're like, you know, taking their temperature, and they sneeze or they cough or they talk because you're in close proximity and they spit right on your face accidentally. So you make sure that they have this protective gear. But everyone else, if you maintain social distancing and you actually practice, you know, basic hygiene as recommended, they still say no mask for you. How do you, as a safety professional, approach this with the employees that are clamoring for, why aren't we, we should all be wearing masks? And, you know, and I'm hearing this, by the way, from colleagues and even some folks that are working in places. They're like, I'm so angry that they won't give us masks. One, can't buy them. I mean, it is insane. You think about some of the largest employers in the world, you know, automotive manufacturers, you know, the big three automakers, the big companies around the world that have upwards of, you know, 500,000 employees to almost 1 million employees. Can you imagine, just pick three of them, and you know they are, you can Google who the largest employers in the world are. If they all bought masks for all of their employees to wear, what that would do to the supply chain. I mean, think about it. It's insane. There is no way that there is no feasible way that this could happen. And if I read one more story about how come this company isn't having their employees wear masks, how come this company isn't providing masks? You can't. It's great for a basement dweller who writes for an online magazine or a newspaper to, you know, talk to one worker that tweeted something negative and then use that as your point of reference or as your source, right? That's great. That's real easy. The rest of us are actually out there dealing with this and managing it very effectively. So, you know, I invite any one of those folks to come into the workplace, to come, you know, and visit any one of these facilities that are open, these critical employers that are on that list of that still need to stay open, to actually go and visit and see all of the measures that are taking place to protect their workers. We're doing it every day. So it's incredible. It's an incredible effort. I am humbled, but I'm also encouraged by what I'm seeing from leaders of these companies. Yeah, you could always find the bad stories. Now, you know me, I'm positive. I want to try to focus on going forward. And this is one that I think we need to tackle sooner rather than later. Okay. The masks. It makes no sense when I see somebody walking around with this mask half flopping off their face and they've got the nitrile gloves on. They're carrying their own, you know, bottle of, you know, Lysol around with them everywhere, freaking out like, okay, that's something else going on with that employee that has nothing to do with this. And so having a rational conversation with them, and I don't mean that in a negative way by any stretch. I don't mean to offend anybody, but you know, that's not who I'm talking about. That is something else going on that you're probably not going to be able to say, well, you know, CDC guidelines says, you know, they don't recommend you wearing a mask. You're not going to win that one. Okay. Everybody else, I think what we need to do is continue to over-communicate, share the guidelines, share the links to the guidelines, publicize it, and make sure people know that this is not the recommendation. Actually, it can make it worse because now we have healthcare professionals that can't get them and they are actually treating people. And if our healthcare professionals go down, we're in big trouble. So yeah, my recommendation is to follow the recommendations and the guidelines that OSHA, the CDC, the World Health Organization are all telling us. And they're all telling us the same thing. Don't wear a mask. Doctors are getting on TV and being interviewed and they're looking right at the camera and they're saying, stop buying masks. You don't need them. Okay? I implore you, take a step back, take a deep breath, think about this, think about the implications of trying to buy these things. Because, you know, what you're going to do is you're going to create your own problem. I mentioned this earlier. You're going to tell all the workers, yeah, we're going to get masks for everybody. Think about this. They're going to need several masks throughout the shift, right? They can't go to eat with it. They have to take it off because you have to assume it's contaminated. If it's doing what you think it's doing, the assumption always is that it's contaminated. As soon as you take your fingers and you grab that mask and you pull it away from your face and you put it up on top of your head, guess what's on top of your head? All this COVID particles you think you're breathing in, right? Now it's on the inside of the mask. So you got to throw that mask away. You got to take the gloves off. You got to wash and then you're going to go eat. And guess what? You're in an environment where everybody else is sitting, but yet they're 6 feet away. You've limited the number of people that are in there, but you're still, think about this. It makes no sense to the logical person that when I'm over there in the same air, in the same workspace, but I'm over there, I'm wearing a mask. But if I come over here with those same people, I don't need to wear a mask because we're eating lunch. Or I take the mask off because I'm walking out. And that's the other thing. Are they leaving with the mask on? Are they going out the front door? What are they doing with the mask? Are they getting in their car with it? How are they throwing it away? It makes no sense to me. There are too many questions that I have that tell me that giving everybody surgical masks, just paper masks, not respirators, that's out the window. Okay, there's no way that's happening. But just dust masks or paper masks or surgical masks, there is no way I'm going to be able to sustain that plan going forward. So now I've told them this is what we're going to do. We're not going to be able to continuously supply them with this. So now I've violated my own protocol that I said we're going to put in place and we can't keep up with it. Now they're upset because they're like, oh my God, they were going to get us masks because this is going to protect us. Now we can't have masks. Now we don't have masks. Now we don't have what we need. It's a vicious circle that you're going to find yourself chasing your tail. Educate yourselves, safety pros, do some research. And again, I started with this, I'll end with this. I understand this is a delicate situation that the psychology, the fear, the emotion behind this topic cannot be overstated. I understand that. But think about the trouble you're getting yourself into when you tell your workforce, whatever size that may be, that we're going to provide you with masks, ongoing multiple masks per person, per shift, per day, per week. You're never going to be able to keep up with it. Think about that. Let me know what you think. Go to LinkedIn, jump on my profile. If we're not connected, what are you waiting for? Connect with me on LinkedIn. And let's talk about this topic. What, mask or no mask? That's the question. I want to hear from you. Mask or no mask? And why or why not? So I'd love to hear your comments, and I will talk to you on the next Safety Pro Podcast episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Safety Pro Podcast, powered by iReport Source, the all-in-one digital safety solution. For info on how you can request a free demo on all the capabilities of iReport Source to streamline your business's safety management system, head over to thesafetypropodcast.com. We look forward to helping you manage safety on the next episode of the Safety Pro Podcast.